You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Welcome to MLB.com Extras, the San Diego Padres. I'm Allison Sutter from MLB.com, here with my friend Corey Brock, who has been on all things Padres all offseason. And now we're going to do our winter meetings preview, Corey. So I don't even know where to start because they've already made two pretty significant trades in Benoit and Kimbrel. So what is next for these guys?
Yeah, and still kind of an interesting one with the A's the other day when they sent Yonder Alonso to Oakland for Drew Pomeranz, a former first-round pick of the Indians who's bounced around a little bit and could end up in their rotation or an important part of the bullpen. So, yeah, he's going A.J. Preller going about things a little differently this year than last year, where he laid a lot of groundwork at the GM meetings, at the winter meetings, which were here in San Diego. And then, of course, we had that big flurry of deals mid-December. Well, you know, they've already moved some significant pieces and freed themselves up of some payroll, given themselves some financial flexibility. So now going to Nashville kind of with a clear directive of what they want to do. And the needs are really simple. You know, it's a shortstop. It's finding a left fielder, especially since it looks like Will Myers will play first base, maybe find a starting pitcher and a little bit of help for the bullpen. I know that sounds like a lot, actually. That's like a like a kid's list for Santa there, basically, right? But, you know, they have a pretty good idea how they want to do this. They have some flexibility if they want to dabble in free agency. And I expect them to be active. I mean, I don't think A.J. Preller knows any other speed.
Yeah, looking at Pomeranz's numbers, and I'm not really sure exactly what to make of it because you just look at, you know, basic, like, wins, losses, ERA, how many games he started, opponent's batting average. I mean, everything looks okay. He had 9 starts last year. He had a 4.63 ERA, which is not wonderful. But, I mean, what's your feeling on that? I mean, he's obviously a lefty, so they needed a lefty in that largely right-handed rotation. So I'm assuming that's where that thinking was coming from.
Absolutely. Like, as we talked about, you know, they're trying for some left-handed balance this offseason, not just in the lineup among their position players to break up all those righties, but to sneak a lefty in the rotation, if at all possible. And so I think Pomeranz gives them some flexibility. They, you know, I'm sure they've kicked around some things internally. They're not willing to commit right now if he's going to be a starter or a reliever. I think that will largely depend on their continued conversations with Drew, and also depending on what they do the rest of this offseason. Like I said, this is far from a finished product at this point, and you know, I'd expect them to be pretty active in Nashville and beyond. So, but at least it gives you a guy that's under club control for 3 years, a guy that has some versatility to start in relief, and I think it's a nice pickup, especially when you got him for 2 guys you were probably going to non-tender anyway.
Yeah, were you surprised that they non-tendered Will Middlebrook? There were a handful of guys who were non-tendered yesterday who were starting in the opening day starting lineups. Middlebrook, did that surprise you at all?
Not really. Only because, you know, I think he'd fallen out of favor here, and that's by no means anything that he had done wrong other than underperformance. I should make that clear.
Right.
You know, he was their opening day third baseman. They got off to a pretty good start. A little unlucky with some balls in play, and then just things just didn't work out for him. You know, he went into a prolonged slump, and at that time, if you remember, Jan Hervis Solarte, Allison, that's a name we haven't kicked around in a few months. he took that job and he just kind of ran with it, and ended up having a great year, a career year for him. So he's their third baseman as it stands now. And you know, they sent Middlebrook to AAA, and then I think kind of the telltale sign for me, Allison, was when the rosters expanded on September 1st and Middlebrooks wasn't part of that group. So I think they were already thinking about moving on from him at that point.
Ah, yeah, that would be a pretty good indicator. I could not believe this. Since 2009, I got this from one of your stories. Since 2009, the club has used 18 different shortstops. I want to go back to the fact that they need a shortstop. That's on their list, their Christmas list. 18 different shortstops since 2009?
Yeah, I went back and I counted them for a story I did late in the year. Woo! And it sounds like really good bar trivia, Allison. Maybe we could stump some people at the winter meetings on this. But, yeah, it's a lengthy list. I mean, remember they had Khalil Green here for several years. A nice player, had some power, was pretty good defensively, but since then it's been a revolving door. And, you know, they moved Jed Jerko over there last year to take a look at him. I think they want to find an answer there. I think they want to find, you know, someone that could be their everyday guy for a couple of years. You know, the caveat there is one of the players they picked up for Craig Kimbrell, that Jose Guerra, the shortstop, he's probably 2 years away, but everyone's really excited about him. I know MLB Pipeline has him as the number three prospect in the system. So I think that means that, you know, they could go out and find a guy like an Alexi Ramirez, maybe on a two-year deal, just kind of serve as a bridge until Guerra is ready. I don't see them going deep down the road like with an Ian Desmond, you know, and a deal exceeding more than a couple of years. I just think that they could probably allocate those dollars somewhere a little bit better.
Yeah, it's funny you say that. I mean, that is a really good trivia question. Like, sometimes I just make little mental notes of all these things that I uncover when I'm talking to you guys, and then I can throw them out, like, at a party, like when I'm in Houston, and people are so impressed that I would even know this about the San Diego Padres. So this is, like, a perfect one. I'm going to put that in my back pocket.
Now, are they impressed, or do they look at you with a little strange?
Both. I mean, people look at me strange anyway, so I'm kind of used to that.
Fair enough.
So let's move on. Mark McGwire, I find this fascinating. So he is now the bench coach for the Padres, and I like this move. Mark McGwire as a hitting coach was really, really good. I spent some time talking to him on a story I was doing about whether great hitters can be great hitting coaches, because it's so different. And it's really, if you've not really struggled so much, can you really relate to the guy who has to, you know, sweat out every single hit that he gets? He's so passionate about hitting, and he likes sitting in the cages for hours and not being seen and just helping young players. And he's so, so knowledgeable. So I'm just so curious to see how this is going to translate into him being bench coach, which he's never done before. So, and then there's a first-year manager who's never done this before. So that could be a pretty interesting dynamic.
Yeah, especially since, you know, as they're putting Andy Green's putting together the staff, you know, I sort of thought maybe the Padres would want to pair him, you know, with a bench coach that maybe had even been a major league manager. You know, they talked to Ron Gardenhire about it. You know, he was a finalist for the managerial job, just to see if he was interested in maybe being the bench coach. But I think what happened was, you know, the more and more the Padres, specifically Andy Green, got into conversations with Mark McGwire and listened to him talk about baseball, and also listened to him talk about, you know, building personal relationships and finding a way to connect with players, I think the Padres became more and more sold on Mark McGwire. And I know Andy Green did his due diligence. He told me, you know, he reached out to about 10 to 15 people, players, coaches, front office types. He even told me he reached out to a member of the media. Now, he wouldn't tell me who that was, but, you know, just to kind of get a sense, really doing a deep dive on the guy to find out more about him. You know, I certainly, you know, any of us have the capability to interview well. But I think, you know, it's reaching out to people that have maybe dealt with him in the past just to see what he's been like. That really helps sell it. But, you know, I think it was the conversations and the passion, like you talked about, Allison. This is kind of the next progression for him, I think. You know, 6 years as a hitting coach, and now it's time to become a bench coach. And who knows, this guy might have aspirations to be a big league manager someday.
Yeah, I mean, you think that kind of is the next step. I mean, usually, you know, bench coaches, they do get a lot of consideration for manager. And, you know, Mark McGwire as a coach, as a person who is now in his post-playing career, I mean, I feel like, you know, for all of the scrutiny, actually, obviously, that he was under for, you know, some things that happened while he was playing. But he, if you talk to him, I mean, you totally can jump on board. You totally get why he can connect and why he's so good at what he's doing now, because he's really over himself. I mean, he carries no airs about him, and he really is, and it's hard to do that. I mean, it's hard, you know, sometimes you talk to some of these, like, great players from their generation, and it's hard for them to really come down and see themselves more as, like, on an equal level with the people they're dealing with now. And Mark McGwire, I certainly think that he's going to be, you know, he's been very successful at that. I just think he's a pretty down-to-earth guy.
Yeah, I know. Like, one of the things he brought up yesterday, too, and, you know, I hadn't really thought about this, because you think about Mark McGwire, I remember he was a Rookie of the Year right out of the chute with the A's, I believe, and then, you know, all that success, the home runs, you know, the World Series rings and all that. One as a player and as a coach, and But, you know, he brought up that, you know, he's been on top of the mountain, but he's also, you know, he's gone through some struggles, and, you know, some of that during the game, and then obviously some of that with the adversity he faced away from the game, so to speak, or maybe trying to even get back in was probably tough for him. But, you know, I think he's proved himself on two different fronts now. And what he said was he's kept challenging himself. He did that as a player, and he's doing that now professionally in this regard. He challenged himself with the Cardinals. He said he could have stayed there longer. Certainly they had a good run going. He challenged himself with the Dodgers, especially dealing with a lot of veteran hitters over there, maybe some guys that don't think that they know all the answers, but I think it's always easier to work with a younger set of hitters. But so I think he's ready for this, and he's excited for it. He says he was ecstatic when they offered him the job. So I think that means a lot, that this job really resonated with him.
Yeah, especially since he definitely doesn't need the money. He made a pretty penny as a player, so that really shows that he just really does this because he loves the game, which is good. It's good for the game, good for all of us.
Well, you know, what's funny, Allison, is like guys, you know, these guys, you know, that play the game for so long, like, and you talk about, like, you brought up his case specifically, and, like, how much money did this guy make in the game? You could look it up on Baseball Reference, and it's a staggering number, I'm sure, but, mm-hmm. like they just can't walk away from the game. It's like this is all he's done since, you know, since he was going back to his days at USC, you know? And, I mean, this is in his blood. And a lot of people probably think, look at some of these guys and like, oh, well, you know, when they just retire, if they just sit on their mountain of money and enjoy the rest of life. Well, you know, enjoying their life is still being a part of baseball. And I think, he by no means is ready to step away from that. This game means everything to him.
Yeah, you still have to get up every morning and have a purpose, no matter how much money you have. You have to go do something. And so it's good. It's good to get these great players that are still in the game. It's good for the game. So, all right, Corey, thank you so much. Good conversation, and we'll do this again next week in Nashville. Appreciate it.
I look forward to it. Thanks, Allison.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.